This conference is being recorded.
I think that I have to ask that question, did you hear it yet, before it will ever...
Yeah, every single time.
Probably true.
Well, should we take a look at where we finished last time? I think there were two, I'm just looking at the notes from last time. There were basically two main things that we were supposed to do for today. One was work on the lit review, trying to link the key ideas of sampling distributions to our questions, and providing the background literature, and using the pilot data for some support. It looks like, Tisha, it looks to me like you started doing that with what you sent out to us today. Maybe we can spend some time looking at what you did. And then the other thing was to get some information about the IRB and IRB approval, especially if we want to look to start collecting some kind of personal information on the students so we can track a little bit about their background as we give them these assessment items. So maybe the second item is the quick one. Were either of you able to find any information out about that, about the IRB?
Yes.
I have.
Oh, go ahead, Michael.
I have not.
So I am on a committee with someone who serves on our IRE board, and I talked to her, so I haven't officially gone and talked to the chair of the board or anything, but her impression, I just gave a brief description of what we want to do. Her impression is that we would be able to go through under, I think it's just called exempt. It would just be reviewed by a member of the board, basically. She didn't think there would be any problems. The one thing that she did say is that if we were collecting data from just Winona State, for example, her impression was that it would be only Winona State's IRB board that needed to be contacted. However, all of us would have to present proof of completing that whole human research subject module thing. You know what I'm talking about? I think the NIH had, yeah, so even...
And I don't know what you're talking about. What is it?
So it's just, I think that there's one through the NIH, there's another one, I can't remember what they accept, but it's basically just a short tutorial on dealing with human subjects in terms of research and a crash course on ethics, pretty much. And it's online, and it takes, I think, maybe a half hour if you hurry. Does that sound reasonable, Michael, that it's that fast? I've done it once a few years back.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically really quick tutorials on ethics of human subjects research, and then it gives you a quiz at the end.
Okay.
And then
if I remember correctly, and you get basically, it basically gives you this really low-level certification that you've gone through it.
And the IRB board would want proof that everyone that's listed as an investigator had completed that.
Okay.
So
if I just Google tutorial ethics of human subjects, I'll find it.
Yeah, I can send you something too.
Did someone just join us?
Yes, hi, this is Dale. Really sorry to be late. I just missed it here. We're kind of in the middle of a bunch of activities, and I'm up in Minnesota, actually.
Oh, close to me, huh?
Not too far away. Yeah, my mom died this last week.
Oh, Dale.
Oh, sorry to hear that, Dale.
Yeah, so that I've been kind of preoccupied. I just called in to essentially to say I think I'm not going to be able to contribute much today, but I will get to the recording, and I think I'm recorder this time.
I will do that for you, Dale.
Really?
Yes, because I missed out on my turn a few months back anyway.
Well, that's sweet. I appreciate that. I will look forward to that and also to listening to the recording and catching up with you probably in a week or two. I should be back online. I haven't been able to get at the computer lately either, so I feel a little, it's funny, it's just completely disconnected from the world.
Right.
But
I understand well.
So, but anyway, well, just to let you know what's happening with me. So I'll catch up with you guys later.
We're thinking about you, Dale.
Thanks for checking in, Dale. We'll be thinking about this.
Well, thank you. Okay, and happy holidays to you.
You too.
You too.
Okay. Thank
you.
Yeah, that's sad.
Yeah. I think the holidays too. It's really hard. Well, okay. So we get back to where we were. On the tutorial, I think 15 new subjects. So I need to do that then, because I've never done that. Do you have to do it every single time you guys present something like this, or do you just have to do it once? And then
I think it's good for so long.
Okay.
Yeah, it's once, and it's good for some amount of time. I don't even know if it's indefinite or not, but
okay.
I did mine probably like 6 or 7 years ago, so I have to go check that it's actually still valid.
I know. It's frustrating. I just did mine, not this summer, but the summer before. But I don't know. Maybe do they keep information online, or do I have to find proof of my certificate? I have no idea what I did with it.
I remember that I actually got a physical document.
Yeah, I don't know where mine is.
But I'm.
I think that I just had to print something out at the end of my. I don't know. I'll worry about it later.
I mean, that might be the document I'm thinking of, but I remember I had to like make a copy and submit it with something else that I had done. So. I don't know. Given that it's just half an hour, it might be worthwhile to just redo it myself. But
yeah. But Michelle, I can send a link to that too if you haven't found it.
Now, I just found one thing that went through the Hastings Center, but these are articles. They're not. No. Okay. If you have the link, that would be great.
Yep, I'll find it quick. But I think it was Bob had sent us an email about. He remembered in the past that whichever institution they were collecting data at, that that's where they contacted IRB boards. So maybe he mentioned his work with Best Chance. If they didn't interview any students at Minnesota, then they did not contact Minnesota's IRB. And I talked to my colleague here about that, and she said, yeah, that would sound like what Winona State would say too. So I suppose wherever we're collecting data is where we should be.
Okay. All right. Well, I talked to some people here. We don't actually, as I told you, we don't have an IRB. But I have two colleagues who work in marketing, and they've done some surveys and things, and they both have worked at other places. So they gave me a model of a form that they just had the students fill out consenting to participate in the research. And then they just give a copy of that to the university administration that seems to have worked. But I'll go ahead and take this tutorial thing just so that I'll be in line with you guys. So if they're indicated any of your institutions have an issue with it. Because we are discussing the sample data from Monaco, and I can collect more data from here too. So I'll do that. Okay. So that's it on the IRB one. So now the more challenging aspect that you're not so well prepared for is to go back and talk about the lit review. Shall we take a look at what Tisha sent out today?
I'm having a little problem hearing you, Michelle. I don't know if you're on speakerphone or whether it's just the connection.
I'm on my Skype headphones. Try again. I'll tell you what, I'll hang up and I'll call right back. See if we get a better line.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Were you having problems as well, Tisha, or was that just me?
Yeah, well, every once in a while. Sometimes, like when she just told me that she was going to hang up and call back, I heard her just fine.
Yeah, me too.
So, I don't know what
all right, we'll
was, but I agree that every once in a while I couldn't even really make out the words.
Right.
I'm just looking. So, sorry, I'm reading something off of Winona State's website. That's why I'm not talking. They have their own human subjects education module, but you can also use the NIH Human Participant Protections Education for Research Teams.
Huh.
There's so many acronyms out there. I don't know how people ever remember them all.
Well, it's the government, so.
Yeah.
I remember after my sophomore year of college, I went to work at the Department of Energy, and I worked at the DOE EIA DQT DQB. Like, it was just like a mess load of whatever.
I wouldn't have I'd never remember any of that.
Yeah. Are you back with us, Michelle? Uh-oh.
I heard a beep, but now I don't hear anything. Do you? Okay.
Yep.
Hello? Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Is it any better than before?
I think so.
I think it's a little bit better. It was cutting in and out a little bit, so I'm not sure, but that's...
Okay, I'll have to get... I've been having problems with it. I updated my Skype on my computer, and the line seems to be worse than it was before I updated, so I'll see what I can do. But what I was proposing before was if we take a look at what Tisha sent today.
Okay.
Can I tell you a little bit about, I guess, some of the questions? Because that's mostly what this is a brain dump.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking about things, and so a lot of what I was, I guess, I don't know. I have questions for you. I'll put it that way.
Okay.
Do you want me to just go, or did somebody else want to say something?
No, go ahead.
Go.
I was having one of these, and it could just be that it's finals time, and my attitude needs adjusting, I'm sure, but I was having one of those day is when I'm thinking about all this that says, okay, is what we've been doing the past few months or whatever, were we going down the right path? And now I'm kind of second guessing what we were doing, and I'm unsure of what we were thinking at some points. And so my big thing is, and I might have that outlined somewhere in this document I wrote, I guess the very end. So here's a good example of it. We can talk about some of the things that I felt were important for understanding distributional thinking in a little bit. But this last question with comparing the psychology professor and the biology professor.
Mm-hmm.
I think that questions like this are really good at truly gauging a student's understanding of concept of distributional thinking. What I'm not convinced of anymore is that the parts of distributional thinking that we're testing here are what students absolutely need to understand before they can get a sampling distribution. To me, this question here, it gets at the idea of comparing variability within a group to variability between groups. And I know that's very important in statistical thinking, but is something like that necessary to understand a sampling distribution? I'm not sure in this context. And so my big question is, so are we looking at a student's response to maybe a more advanced question like this and saying, okay, a student that can answer this well is more likely to understand what a sampling distribution is? Or are we wanting to restrict this to, so the questions I would ask about distributional thinking are only covering elements that I think are truly prerequisite to understand sampling distributions? That it probably doesn't make any sense, and I apologize.
No, I think it makes perfect sense. I think it makes perfect sense because I was doing the same thing when I tried to switch around last time, rather than looking at all aspects of variability, and then lots of questions about variability, and then trying to reduce that to a few questions on variability, which is the route we had taken, or I had taken originally. I was trying to flip it around backwards and say, okay, what do we need for sampling distribution? What about variability we need to know, and are we testing it all? So I think what you're asking is exactly what we were trying to do,
yeah,
is go back and say, do we really have questions that ask the aspects of distributional thinking, of thinking about variability and thinking about sampling, that matter for understanding sampling distribution? Because that's really what we're trying to do, is an assessment tool that focuses just on that, right?
Right. Well, and I can see, I guess, arguments going both ways, because it's not really like we have an issue that we're debating. But so, for example, I can see one of our attempts being, you know, just taking a question like this, and as I said a second ago, a student that answers this well shows us a complete understanding of sample distributions. And that might be what we're looking for, is evidence that if you have a sound understanding of a distribution, that you're more likely to do well with these other topics too. But I also, maybe it's just rereading many times like I have lately, because it helps me refocus. That email that Bob sent with some advice from Bob and Andy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when I read that, what I hear them suggesting is that these prerequisite concepts that we test should just be over the parts of distributional thinking or variability or sampling, whatever, that we think are related to the sampling distributions.
Yeah, I think that's correct. It's just the route that I think we're trying to go in. Is only keep the questions that are related to that. And then I thought last time we were also trying to, we had a bit of a debate as to whether or not we want them all to be related just to the sample mean, or whether we want to keep questions on the sample mean and the sample proportion. And I think we had come to a consensus at the end of the last call that we should probably keep both questions in there to see whether student responses differ relative to perhaps, like when you talked about, Tricia, that you start with the sampling distribution of the proportion. Other people start with the sampling distribution of the mean and kind of see, is there a difference in, you know, are students consistently doing well in one context or the other, or are they doing about the same in both contexts? I think that's what we said. I think
yeah.
Michael was saying if we have both, it's a bit longer, but at least we have a bit more possibility of reliability. We're testing the same concept in two different contexts. Is that what you guys understood?
Yeah, I think that's what we had decided last time. I forgot about that. I was going to think about writing some questions, too, for proportions that are similar to our questions on sampling distributions for means, but I didn't.
Understandably. I guess I've been feeling like I always like having, you know, what our goal is, what our short and or long-term goal is in mind, and I've been having a hard time wrapping my head around it.
Me too, and I think that's what's bothering me is the...
I thought where we left it recently was, well, why don't we just take what we have with some modifications and just get it out there and gather data and start analyzing the data a bit and just seeing what we get, realizing that this isn't a perfect instrument yet and it might take us years to get a perfect instrument, but let's at least start getting it at the relationships that we're looking for. And so for me, you know, looking at Tisha's comments on the last page, if you think this does accurately assess a student's understanding of distributional thinking, then that's a good question.
Okay.
And the latter part of your comment, you know, do we have to think about how it relates to sampling distributions? You know, I still have in my mind our original question back at US COTS, does it relate to hypothesis testing? That I'm kind of trying to get out of my mind, but still keeping in the back that that's where we
mm-hmm.
might go next. Of, you know, well, great. If this question accurately assesses distributional thinking, let's ask this question and the other questions and try and size up sampling distributions and hypothesis testing if we can and look for the correlations, look for the associations. I mean, to me, the question is, does this accurately assess distributional thinking? You know, and maybe, as Tisha said, do we have to break that down further?
Mm-hmm.
Into what aspect? So that's...
So your opinion is to gather data with what we have now and then maybe work towards improving it in the future. Is that what I hear?
I mean, maybe that's just a short-term ambition that ignores what we're looking for long-term, but I mean, I think that we might gain insights from that, let alone I think that also might bring us closer to a publication, which I have to keep in mind these days.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so now, I was thinking that the way I had read some of the advice from Annie and Bob was sort of take stock of what you've done and write up what you've done so far before trying to hone this, before collecting a lot more data in case you might end up changing things. But maybe you've read it recently, Tisha, and I haven't read it in
a
long time.
Yeah, that's what they said. So I just read it again this morning. Basically... Bob said the first thing that we should be doing was to figure out what is needed to understand What are our three? Variability, distributional thinking, and sampling. So those in general. And we've done that, and that's what they're encouraging us to do, is to flesh those things out in a lit review. And then the second part of it was, okay, we say that those are prerequisites to understanding sampling distributions. Why is that? So to go through with each of those areas and say how they're related to sampling distributions or what students should understand from each one to be able to go on. And they said that those things together then should help us to figure out, because part of this lit review is helping us to, well, we already have started to develop our tool, but to make it better, I guess, to improve this thing. This lit review should help us to focus on what it is we should be measuring in sampling understanding and distributional thinking and in understanding variability. So when I read it, I hear that they'd like us to really focus on those things, flush out those ideas, and then making our instrument better could come from that thing. Does that mean, so what questions would measure those things that we say need to be measured?
Mm-hmm.
And we've done a lot of that, like Michael, when you went through all of those student responses and you said, this gets at this part of our question, or whatever.
Right. I mean, I guess, and this is my confusion about research is, when you describe it in that way, it sounds just like what Bob and Beth and Joan have done already. I mean, in the article where they actually laid out that these are the prerequisite knowledge pieces for sampling
right.
distributions for hypothesis testing. So what is it novel that we're introducing?
Hopefully at some point the assessment tool.
This is why, Michael, you're saying let's get more data so that we can add, the, so if we're going to publish something, it has to be the value-added aspect to it, basically, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I was saying, are we talking about a literature review as an introduction to a piece where we introduce our assessment tool? Are we talking about a standalone literature review?
I shouldn't put words in Bob's mouth. I should pull up the email. But I think the way that he put it, or he and Andy put it, was that we have it in three parts, and they wanted us to bring all of those together, and one of the parts was the assessment tool. That's my understanding, is that this would all be, so yes, this lit review that we're describing would be as part of an introduction to this assessment tool. And I don't know, maybe they have done this, and I haven't seen it as much, but I think that when Bob mentions us laying out distributional thinking, sampling, and variability, that they want us to pull from even a broader lit review than they did. They just kind of stated in that whole, I don't even know where it is, I always call it chapter 13.
Right.
But in their chapter 13, they just said, these are the prerequisites, and they wrote some bullet points under each one. And my understanding of Bob's advice was that we would be fleshing that out of it too.
Is it we would what?
We would be adding to that and drawing from even more sources than, because most of their chapter 13 was on sampling distributions alone.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't look too much into, they said these were the prerequisite concepts, but they didn't talk a whole lot. They talked some, like in that box. I don't remember what page it is, but
that's what's in my mind too. So.
Yeah, and so I think Bob wanted us to expand on that a little bit, and probably
what I read on variability is just on variability. You know, the same variability, distribution is very big across. So there's kind of been a lot written about just distributions and just on variability, and or just on sampling distributions and. They kind of link it more. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, I'm having a hard time hearing you again now, Michelle. Can you repeat it?
Yeah, I was saying that also what I read on variability was largely, mostly entirely focused on variability.
Right.
And so that here what we're trying to do is just pick out the parts of that are most related to sampling distribution.
Right.
So try to make the link between these different bodies of literature.
Yes, and I think that, you know, Bob was probably just trying to be a good mentor too, and to get us back to the basics, even if it does seem like what's in their chapter 13. I think his intent was to get us to focus once again on what we want to be measuring before we just, because we were there a year ago, or it has been a year almost, hasn't it, since we started putting together that tool. We were there thinking that what we wanted to measure, but when I look back on myself, I just got to a point where I'm reading bits and pieces here and there and pulling out questions. Oh, this is on distributional thinking, but I did not constantly have in the back of my mind, what is it about distributional thinking in terms of sampling distributions that I want to be measuring here? And so I think that that's part of what he was trying to get us to do, was to step back again, focus on that. What we're doing that they haven't done yet is this assessment tool. And I think that this lit review piece is just intended to pull that together for us and to help us make an even better tool maybe than we have currently.
So let me share the vision that I have in my mind right now, and you can tell me whether that makes sense.
That'd be great.
So we have those four pieces that they claim are prerequisites to sampling distributions. So for each of those, we're supposed to identify subcategories, if you will, that are important subcomponents of each of those that help understanding of sampling distributions. And that part is done via literature searching and making the connections, et cetera, et cetera. Then the next step would be for each of those pieces, identify assessment items that really do assess those subcategories. Is that...
That is...
Does that make any sense?
Yes, that makes perfect sense to me. That's the way that I see this too.
That makes sense to me, and that's what I think, that my understanding was that was what we were supposed to do for today, even though I didn't, was to do exactly that, for me, focusing in the direction of which are the aspects of variability that apply to this, and do the questions that I put in there, do they actually assess that, and if not, look to get new questions added so that we are sure that we're having questions that cover all the subcomponents that we said are important. So, Mike, I think you phrased it beautifully. You probably just need to do it. Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Everybody's thinking today, huh?
Okay, now I just wasn't sure if I'd lost the line. So we're thinking along the same line.
So, I mean, I also feel like we spend a long time kind of either wondering or unclear where we're going. I mean, is the issue that we all need to really just put time into this and make it happen, or are there other kind of intellectual barriers? Because for me, it's definitely, clearly at least part of it is the former. Like, I just haven't put the time into it to really flesh it out.
Oh, me too, because I feel like, you know, every month I sit down before a meeting and I think about it, that I spend a good deal of time, first of all, catching up with where I've been, what I forgot about. And then when I'm back on track, I have, you know, half the time to work on it. And then we talk about it, and it's all exciting, and then I forget about it until a month. And that's not how I should be approaching this. It's just the way that it's ended up working this semester. And so I think that that's a lot of it. I still wish, well, we can't get together face-to-face, but I still wish we could, because I think that mapping this out, creating a vision, and doing it would be a little bit easier if we had more than an hour to talk.
But I think, to me, it's definitely the former. I mean, I have a pretty clear idea in my head of what I need to do, and I have the staff on my desk of the articles and the various pieces that I did even try to write up previously, and it's just a matter, I need, you know, a few hours to sit down and just do it, and I just haven't done it. I'm rather disappointed in myself, actually, because after our last call, I felt a lot better and thought, okay, we're back on track, I know what I need to do, I have some direction here, and I need to do it. And then I just got overwhelmed with other things and didn't get back to it.
Yeah, well, and I don't think it's necessarily an intellectual thing, because to be honest, last night I started thinking about some of this, and I had this going through my mind, what are we doing? Kind of like you said a second ago, Michael. Do we have a vision? Where are we? And now when we talk today, and I hear you say what you said a few minutes ago, where we all have this idea of what we want to do, say these are the things we should understand, these are the things we're going to test over. Okay, we can get an assessment tool put together, and we can implement that in the classroom, start collecting data. When I think of it in those terms, I say, okay, that's something that I'm on board with, I'm excited about, it doesn't sound too bad, it's definitely manageable. And so I don't think it is an intellectual issue, because otherwise that part, I think, would be less clear to us.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it will become somewhat of an intellectual issue as we get into more of the detail of it.
Oh,
but
definitely. I think once we get the data...
I think we need to provide a little bit more intellect before it becomes an
intellectual But when I hear it, does that make sense, though, when I hear it in those terms where, okay, we need to write for each of these subject areas these things, we need to think in the questions that we have, where are we measuring those things? If we aren't measuring those things, what questions would? That makes it sound so easy to put together an assessment tool. Clearly that's not easy because we've been doing it a year, but it sounds like it's manageable.
Right.
But, I can tell you, I worked in CERT on this. Like in the summer, I had some time, I had about a week, and I was preparing for DSM and strengthening it, and I got really into it. And when if I can give it a block of time and really get my head around it, then it kind of flows. But then if I don't get my head, get back into it, then I lose the enthusiasm and just haven't moved forward. So I think maybe one thing that maybe we could suggest is let's not wait a whole month until we get back with each other, but let's set some deadlines earlier than that and try to really respect them. So that we actually can finally get something together. I definitely would like our group to have something to present, and I think that there's no reason that we shouldn't be able to. It's just a matter that we just need to dedicate a bit more time to it. Myself, the person, one of them. So how would you feel if we set some intermediate deadlines, or at least one intermediate deadline?
Earlier than a month from now, you mean?
Yeah.
I was going to say the same thing. I wonder if we want to set, for 1 month, let's meet weekly instead of monthly. I'll say for me, the next month is not good, though, because, that's probably not for everyone because of the holidays and everything. But maybe what we do is either in January or in February or something, can we do that? Can we meet every week to really just try and hammer out some stuff more?
The only issue is I don't really know, who pays for these calls right now? Is it a flat rate that USCOTS pays, or is it per call? That's the only thing I'm not sure of.
You know what? I would say let's decide that we want to do it and just double check with Cosmos that they'll do that.
Do you guys still test Skype or no?
I don't.
Yeah. I do.
With Skype, you can actually have a conference call, although I've never done it before. I know it exists.
One of the other research I was working with actually set up a conference call on some free website. So, I would say let's assume the technology is either cause support is there or the technology is there to support that and say that that's what we need to get done. I agree. I think we'd be a lot more productive if we didn't have to spend essentially, as Tisha said, I think basically all the time that we're spending on doing this work is just refreshing ourselves of what we did last time.
Right.
So I think that is a good suggestion.
That would be, and I say right now with one of the courses I'm working on, one of the girls I'm working with, she lives in New York, and we talk to each other once a week, and it's been enormous help for me to try and just we say okay, if we do two articles this week and talk about it on Monday, and every Monday we've been meeting, it's been a huge help and really kind of kept me on track. So I think I could use a little bit of that extra structure to keep me on track with this part of it as well. Because I think we're a good group. I think we've done a lot. I think we've worked well together. And I feel like the drive and the motivation has kind of been reduced. It, it, I don't feel the same way as I did when I see you or when I talk to you more often. And I think talking to each other gets me going. So if we could do that, I think that'd be great. You said, when is that good for you, Michael? What are you today? Was it 10th today?
Yeah.
Is it Hanukkah now, actually?
What did you say?
Is it Hanukkah now?
No, Hanukkah's around Christmas time this year.
And you said not Christmas time?
It starts the night
of talk once before Christmas and then set up a couple in January?
I would say for me, I mean, I actually have a lot to do between now and then. I'd rather pick our time to meet in January and then do it maybe every week in January. That would work better for me. I don't know where you guys are.
Yeah, and I'm planning on taking serious vacation in December. I could definitely talk over, you know, an hour a week on the phone or so, but...
Well, but the point, I think, is to really say we're going to do an hour a week on the phone, but also try and make sure we're doing work in between.
Working in between, yeah, I'd probably
And for me, I'm pretty much solidly booked between now and December and January 8th, between going away for a family vacation for a week, and I'm going to JMM in D.C. Are you going, Michelle, you said?
No, not this year. My dad's coming here for Christmas.
So you're not, okay. So, I mean, if we want to pick something the week of the 12th, maybe, and do it, for the next 4 weeks or something, that would work best for me.
That would be okay for me, except for the week of January, I think it's the 26th to the 30th or something like that. That week I have another 4 weeks of PhD classes, so there's no way I can do it that week. But the other weeks would be okay.
I mean, I think that's fine if we do 3 out of 4 weeks or something.
I was going to say, even two would be better than... Oh, I was just looking at my calendar.
Do we want to set up a day and a time to meet next, and then...
I don't know Dale's schedule. I guess we could set it up, and if it doesn't work, we could rearrange.
Right. Well,
why don't we find a time that works for us, and then we can coordinate with Dale.
Confirm or not. Okay.
I think what we should do is pick, a time of the week and plan on doing that same time for, 3 or 4 weeks in a row, with the exception of that 1 week Michelle can't do.
Yeah, that's a great plan.
You guys know your schedule for teaching in January?
Yeah, I have my schedule. So
what day are you free in the afternoon?
Tuesday or Thursday afternoons work well. Wednesdays are not so good.
Okay. And how about you, Tisha?
Monday and Wednesday, I would not be able to meet until 4:30 p.m., which is getting late. 4:30 Central. So that's late for you, Michelle, isn't it?
Like 11:30 Michelle's time.
Yeah.
But you said Wednesday is bad for you, Michael. Tuesdays and Thursdays after 3:30 Central. I have class from 2 until 3:20.
So that'll be the same time as we're meeting right now.
Yeah, why don't we try, what about a Tuesday night? How would that be for you?
Tuesday 13th, is that the 13th?
Tuesday the 13th would be the first one.
And then the 20th, and Michelle, you have class the
27th. 27th, I won't be able to meet.
Okay, but even if we have those two, so we should plan on just for sure with ReadyTalk or U.S. Cosmos, that's not U.S. Cosmos, what is it, this Cosmos, doing that 13th conference call through them, and then we can figure out what to do with the next week.
Let's ask them if they can do it for both of those.
Yeah.
Okay, that sounds good. And shall we try to, and then Michael, you're, but at least I will try, because I'm freer over the holidays than I will be in January, because January I'll be preparing for the next courses. So I'll try at least to do what I was supposed to do for this time, which is go backwards and write up a little bit on variability and analyze the question. And if anybody has time, you can try to do some of that before the 13th. If not, we'll attack it from the 13th. How does that sound?
Sounds good to me. I'm going to try to go through and organize my thoughts and do a little bit more with the distributional thinking part of it, too.
Okay. Michael, for you, 13th, 20th, and see what we can do before then. But it sounds like you're not going to do much before then.
So, I mean, I don't know.
You don't have your life back until January 8th, is that what I hear you saying?
Yeah, basically, and there's going to be more pressure to make sure I get these other papers out by March when my sabbatical report is due. But I think, you know, after January 8th, my focus will really be on just getting ready for classes. I can put a little time into this as well.
Did you get your tenure report back? I mean, you're up for the partial
review. Well, I mean, that was my third-year review. If you have a quote-unquote successful third-year review, you get the junior sabbatical, which is what I had this semester.
Ah, okay. You said that one.
Yeah, so it went fine. You know, it's hard. Everyone's like, you know, you're doing fine. You're on track, you know. But I don't know what that means.
It means good things, Michael. Good things.
I guess it does, but the anxiety around, you know, especially Villanova just had a hiring freeze. A lot of universities now have a hiring freeze, I've heard. So, like, if things don't go well, the outlook looks even worse. You know, I don't know. It's just anxiety.
Anxiety.
You're good. You'll be fine. Is your family with you in Massachusetts?
I'm sorry?
Is your family up there with you in Massachusetts?
So they're going to come up this weekend. So I don't think I could. I'm too attached to my kids these days. I don't think I could be away from them for 2 weeks. So I'm here for 2 weeks, but they're coming up for the weekend in the middle, as well as some friends of ours. So we're going to make a little kind of two-day get-together over the weekend. And then I'll be back to the grind on Sunday night. So
enjoy. Enjoy having big blocks of empty time to get to the grind. That's kind of nice.
I do have to say it's great. It's a really, you know, if you guys ever get a chance to do like a writing vacation or whatever, it is really nice to just really have one thing in your mind that you have to focus on.
Right.
Yeah.
Even if it's three papers, it's still, you know, writing them is one thing. So.
Right. Well, good luck. I hope that it's a productive time for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And let me wish you guys all good holidays then.
You too.
Enjoy
Thank
yourself.
You as well. I'm sad to hear you're not coming to D.C. for JMM, Michelle. I thought we would get to see you there. But
yeah, no, I was really, really tempted, but the PhD program is also costing a fortune, so I have to cut down some on my conference and travel expenses.
Right. Yeah, that was why I decided I'm not going to Durban this year. But
yeah, it's just going to be pretty expensive.
I'm trying to keep my eyes on whether Slovenia makes sense for ICOTS 8. I think it is.
Well, Slovenia makes really good sense to me. I'm planning to go with that one. Washington sounds cheap, but Slovenia is easy. All right. Well, listen, we'll talk on the 13th, and I'll try to get something out. But anyway, it was good to talk, and I think it was good to just get a frank exchange of ideas and figure out where we are and feel better, and we'll try to get myself a little bit more on the ball so I have something for you for next time.
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay. Well, I'm going to say goodnight.
Okay, goodnight, Michelle.
All right, goodnight. Okay.
One quick question. Neither of you have Dale's address, do you, other than his email address?
No, I just
have email.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Well, I'll try to send him a note just by email then. Okay. Thanks a lot.
Okay,
all right.
Bye.
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 Thank you. Please stand by.